We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dave Wannstedt, Bears head coach for 6 years.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Great mustache.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause, the mustache.
Wani, hanging out with Molly and Hawn.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay?
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank
next
you very
question.
Much.
Dave Wannstedt.
Molly and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a joy to have Coach Wannstedt join us in studio. Dave, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Mike, Molly, and David. Absolutely, tough one last week. I mean, doing that post game, watching the game there. God, I thought we had it. You know,
had it.
I really, really liked the Bears the way they came out of the tunnel. I mean, they were ready to play. God, they were playing hard. You know, they really were. And I think it just magnifies. In my mind, it just magnifies some of the personnel issues that are lacking right now.
What happened in the fourth quarter, Dave? They were leading 19-10 at the beginning, obviously 18 points in the fourth. The way you looked at it from a coaching perspective, what happened?
Well, you got the turnovers now. Don't lose sight of the turnovers, right? I mean, but the thing was, you got to make a play on defense. And we had no sacks, right, in the game. Zero sacks and very little pressure. Aaron Rodgers was just off. Now, you got to give our secondary credit. God, some of those guys, I had to look at the program to get their name, but they were locked on. I thought they did a very, very good job of covering the guys that were in there. A lot of them hadn't played much, new in the system. I don't know. You know, at the end, you lose the momentum, and Rodgers gets a hot hand, and we throw a pick, and that's your ball game. I mean, it's not like it was a three-score difference.
Dave, you know, obviously you talk about a player like Aaron Rodgers, any quarterback, not hit, not sacked. They didn't get anything going against him at all. He wasn't pressured.
Right.
And everyone's like, well, why don't you blitz more? Why don't you come after him? You got like a whole new secondary. I don't know how you were supposed to defend him other than try to get pressure on him with your front four, and they can't do that. And it's disappointing because they keep churning through practice squad guys trying to find anybody that can help, and they can't get any pass rush at all.
No, and I don't see how that's going to change, I mean, to be quite honest with you. You know, it is what it is. And we talked about that 2 months ago, you know, because remember Roquan Smith, before they traded him, they came out, and I think it might have been, I forget who they were playing, but the first two or three possessions, one time it was Roquan blitzing, the next time it was Brisker blitzing, the next time it was Eddie Jackson blitzing, and they were getting sacks and pressures and getting off the field. So, you know, Matt Eberflus and those defensive coaches up there, they know the situation. And now you got to look at the quarterback you're facing, too. You're facing one of the all-time greats. Are you by firing Jack Sanborn, I mean, is he going to be rattled and all of a sudden? You know, no. I mean, that's just taking one less defender out of coverage, and you're not going to get there in Rodgers. It's not like you're going to get there and sack him. So now you're susceptible to giving up a bigger play.
How did you break down the interception to Jair Alexander, the first one that essentially helped the Packers clinch the victory?
Yeah, you're talking about the one where St. Brown didn't come back. Yeah, he got to come back to the ball. He looked like he was late coming out of his break a little bit, but that's okay as long as you are working back to the football and giving your quarterback a little bit of help. And that didn't happen. I mean, it's all, how you look at it. I would have been on the receiver and say, you got to help the quarterback and come back to the ball on that thing. I mean, that was, you can't get undercut like that.
What did you think of Fields' performance, given the fact that he had a separated shoulder, given the fact that it was uncertain whether he was going to be able to play earlier in the week, although he said he knew on Wednesday he was ready?
Yeah, I think, I was actually pulled out the pen the other day and said, okay, let me just sit here and let me check the boxes. In my own mind now, everybody's got an opinion on Justin Fields. And it was almost like Aaron Rodgers came out and they're sitting at the poker table and Aaron Rodgers pushed all the chips up and says, I'm in, right?
I'm all in.
Yeah. I'm all in. Because when Aaron Rodgers came out early in the week and said, I got busted up ribs, I got a busted hand, I'm playing in this game. I think it was the next day that Justin Fields looked in that camera and he said, I'm all in too. Let's go. And I think that's something, now whether Aaron talked him into it, or baited him into it, it doesn't matter. The fact is that Justin Fields really, I think, showed Bear fans and showed all of us that this kid's a competitor and he is tough. And, I talked to somebody that talked to him after the game and his shoulder was bothering him. So the conversation at halftime, how you feeling? Oh, I'm doing okay. And they come out the second half, and everybody's saying,
"Why did you stop running?
Why did you get so conservative?" Yeah. This has been my conversation. How you feeling? Well, it's okay. It's sore a little. Moving the shoulder. I'm going to turn to Luke Getsy as the head coach, and I'm going to say, eliminate the quarterback runs. You know what I mean? The thing we can't have is this kid having major shoulder surgery.
Right.
Yes.
Because we're trying to run a quarterback dive or something.
Why they handed off to Montgomery on third down?
I'm totally convinced of that. I mean, this is just my opinion.
Yeah, it could be. It's plausible.
And
think
about the passes. How many times Justin's under pressure and our offensive line did as good a job as they've done all year. Let's hats off to those guys. I mean, really, I'd love to hear Manley's take on that. And because I thought they did a great job against guys that are number one picks. They got seven number one picks on that defense over there. But here's my point. In the second half when we were going to our drop back game, when all of a sudden the quarterback runs were kind of put on the back shelf, the quarterback rollout passes, run pass option, which they are, put on the back shelf, and we're going drop back, everybody's saying, why? What are we doing? What are we doing? Well, Justin Fields, think about that. He moved in the pocket. He had pressure. I promise you, a week ago or 2 weeks ago, he's scrambling.
Yes, I do.
He takes off running, but the good news is, he stepped up and completed some passes down the field. That's what he really needs
to
do.
Well, I think that's a big part of, too. One of the plays that stood out, besides the big chunk plays, the 55-yard, whatever, he was forced to leave the pocket. He kept his eyes downfield. He found Cole Kmet for a 24-yarder. When I think that you could easily have envisioned him at one point in time, maybe with a healthier shoulder, he would have tucked it and ran it.
100%.
But part of that growth and development is that he kept his eyes down the field and found Cole Kmet, who adjusted to the scramble, and it was a 24-yard gain.
You don't have a guy run 56 yards for a touchdown and then just abandon that.
No.
There's got to be a reason that you didn't do that anymore. I felt the same way watching the game.
Absolutely. And, and he didn't have to say I heard it more. All you got to say is, it's okay. Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay. What's that mean?
No more of
right,
that.
Right, right.
Yeah,
hey, one point I want to make here, looking at this, did you ever think, the Packers, because I was talking about that secondary of ours, I mean, they had one reception over 20 yards, and it was 21 yards. I mean, we had more big plays throwing the football than the Packers did. Turnovers, guys. Turnovers in red zone. That's the key. We had a 56-yarder, we had a 49-yarder, and a 24-yarder. We had three plays over 20-1.
All right, I want to tell you what was going through my head when I watched a couple of those plays. 312-644-6767. We'll get your calls later. We got Coach Wanstead for another segment here on The Score.
Dave Wanstead hanging out with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We have Coach Wanstead here in studio. And Dave, I saw them complete a pass of 56 yards down the field. And the minute that was thrown, the minute that happened, I thought, there's Coach Wanstead. That's exactly what he's been waiting to see, the big passes down the field.
Oh, I loved it. And, you know, maybe you know, that was the silver lining in this thing, that Justin didn't scramble. He moved around. Luke Getsy's looking at his game plan, and he says, okay, I don't want to run the bootlegs and so forth that are run-pass options. And, you know, so let's throw it deep. So maybe that's the silver lining, that we did some things and had success at some things that gives the offensive line confidence, that gives Justin confidence, and gives Luke Getsy confidence in the future, you know?
So, Dave, the last time the Bears had time off, it was a mini-bye, and they reconfigured their offense, and they leaned into Justin Fields as a dual threat. And he ran the ball more designed runs, and look what happened. He emerged as this breakout star of the season. They've got a week off. The players are away, but the coaches can meet. They can figure out what they want to do with the final four games. What kind of adjustments, what kind of changes would you expect or recommend from a coaching perspective?
Well, you know, at this point in the season, they've been pretty much self-scouting all along. You know, we used to always say we need four games on film to really get a pretty good evaluation for where we're strong and where we're weak. At this point in the season, that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to go back and they're going to take a look at the red zone, their third down, their short yardage. It's all about situations. What situations during the bye week can we improve? You know, maybe not necessarily plays. I mean, you got to be careful there that you don't start adding stuff and you know, whoever has the chalk last wins type of thinking. But it's all about situations, you know. What can we do in third down to improve our statistics, you know, give us a better chance and goal line and short yardage and the play passes. And maybe it's taking more shots, you know, maybe the deep balls. I would spend time on those deep balls personally, you know, not necessarily getting guys open, but I think getting Justin to complete on some of those, and you got to work on them. You got to work on them. It takes time.
We got breaking news. The Loyola head coach, John Holasek, has stepped down. He has officially made it retirement today. So that's
wow.
Yeah, there you go. That is
wow.
We should say breaking news on 670 The Score is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. John Holasek retires.
That's a very significant development in the local scene, Dave. You are very familiar with that program, and you know what he means to that school and a lot of kids that he has impacted their lives.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, my grandson is a ninth grader there. John Fitzy's son, Pat Fitzgerald, his son's a 10th grade quarterback coming up who is going to be, I think, the quarterback of the future.
Wow.
And Fitz has a son that was a starting tight end this year that's graduating. So, it's a place that, you know, the one thing about John Holasek, All-American at Illinois, you know, great NFL player, obviously outstanding coach, three state championships during his tenure and competed for more, is the culture at Loyola. You know, when school guys would come in and recruit Loyola, you knew what you were getting. And being in college football, I'll just close by saying, you know, it's going to be a loss. I mean, because I just hope that they can keep the culture going and the wins and losses will follow.
Okay, Dave, back to the NFL, the Bears. I'm just curious, when you think about, you know, what you do during the bye week and how you go about it. The coaches, everybody needs a break. It's late in the year.
Right.
And you're going to have a final push. We keep hearing from people that there's no point in winning, that it just destroys draft pick, et cetera. Have you ever bought into that idea? And how do you respond to people that are more concerned with having a good loss than actually winning?
Yeah, I have not, to be honest with you. This would be a time, though, that maybe Harry plays more at wide receiver. You mentioned that earlier, Molly. You know what I mean? This might be a time where you say, boy, you know what? We really, you know, where Matt Eberflus sits down with Ryan Poole as the general manager, and they kind of get their heads together and say, what players haven't we got a great or a real good evaluation on? Whether it be offensive lineman or defensive lineman, doesn't matter the position. Who really do we need to evaluate more? And I would make some changes that way. That's how I would address it. I would not, you know, be thinking about the draft. I mean, please. No. Because these, the minute you do that, you're going to lose the team and the attitude and everything that the Matt Eberflus is trying to, you know. Now guys start not putting in the extra film time. Now guys start showing up a little bit late for meetings. All those things start creeping in the minute that the players feel that it's not important to win.
Molly thought of you when they took a shot down the field. I thought of you when I was needing a head coach's perspective at the end of the first half. What was Matt Eberflus doing, calling a timeout with fourth and four to give the Packers time to rethink maybe the decision to kick a field goal, to regroup if they were rattled at all? That was a timeout that just seems like, in retrospect, somebody messed up, Dave. Somebody may have overreacted. What happened in your view?
And I think, you know, listening to – because that was the one issue that I wanted to hear what Matt said after the game. And I think he covered himself a little bit. He said, we wanted to give our defense a chance to be sure that we were set on what we were going to do. I mean, that is a reason, you know, if maybe they didn't have the right personnel on the field, or they wanted to change the call, or whatever it might have been. You know, it wasn't ideal probably, but he did have a reason for it, and I would accept that.
Dave, first of all, I think about you all the time during the game. I don't know why David's singling that up.
Yeah.
No. Tom Thayer told us that Matt Eberflus called that timeout because they have a guy that does the analytics that told him that was the time to take a timeout. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
Never. I don't question it. I don't doubt it. I mean, but that's something where I'm not.
Wouldn't you want to make that call yourself as a head coach?
I would make that call myself.
Yeah, okay.
I wouldn't listen to analytics. I mean, that guy, are you kidding me?
Okay, that's fair. I'm just saying that's what he said to us, and we both were looking at each other like, what?
Well, you know my theory on I can't say it.
Analytics? You're not a big fan of the analytics?
Well, I am. There's a movement. Place for it.
Yeah.
There is a place for it. There's no question about that. But analytics doesn't take into account the wind and the rain and the snow and the cold and who you're going against and who's going to block. Can my guy block their guy? I mean, they don't take any of that stuff into account, unfortunately. And that's the job of the head coach, you know?
All right. We've got a Final Four in college football. And I'm curious, Dave, if you thought that TCU, despite the loss, deserved to be in that Final Four, if you thought Alabama, despite two losses, both on the final play of the game, would deserve to go in. And I, you know, the question that you have sometimes is, hey, if those two teams played, who would you think was going to win? And
right.
Yeah, it's hard.
Well, you just hit it there, because this is what all this committee comes down to. Are we going to have a process for making a decision? And by process, I mean who played the toughest schedule. TCU played the toughest schedule, right?
Yes.
Who are conference champs? Okay. Who played in a championship game? You know, strength of schedule. Who beat teams that were ranked? I mean, all these things go into account when they make their decision. Or we can just abandon that committee and just get a couple coaches and ask me. You know, we're going to go out in this parking lot right here, and Alabama is probably maybe going to beat them all.
That's not the purpose.
You know what I'm saying?
That's not how you do it.
But I mean,
you can't do it that way.
So I get what Molly just said.
I know, but
if you're going to go out in the parking lot and play, are you going to bet against Alabama playing TCU? Hell no.
That's the irony, though, Dave. I would pick Alabama.
But I like TCU being in because I'm trying to do it the way.
You're balancing it.
I'm trying to follow the system.
Yeah. You're using the analytics to your.
I'm using the analytics.
See?
Yep.
I think because the analytics tell you that TCU belongs and deserves to be in the Final Four. Now, if you're looking at it on tape, regardless of the numbers, and you're just watching the tape, I'm watching two teams, and I think Alabama is a better football team.
I would agree with
but
you.
But that's not the question.
Correct.
The question is what four teams deserve to be in the Final Four, the college football playoff, based on the criteria established and agreed upon.
Correct.
And based on that criteria, it is TCU, it is Ohio State, it is Michigan, and it is Georgia.
Coach, I'll tell you, you know who I wouldn't want to play? I wouldn't want to play Utah.
How about that game,
Penn State's Penn State. Better wow. bring your you better bring your mouthpiece. They're playing. They're, Penn State's playing Utah in the Rose Bowl. Coach, Utah is
that
as physical.
Tough.
They
yeah.
they are like Georgia and Michigan. When I think of Utah, I think they are as physical football team as anybody in the country. And that quarterback, you know what? On this though, one point, I wish that TCU, and I know Sonny Dykes, the head coach, very well. I'm real good friends with his dad, legendary Texas Tech and Texas coach. I wish that Sonny Dykes, the head coach of TCU, would have given Max Duggan the football on the goal line, because I think if he scores, if they put the ball in his hands, he might win the Heisman. And I was pulling for that kid to
that
win.
That could have been his moment.
That could have been
his moment.
That could have
been his moment. You're right.
They score and they win the championship. They get in the thing. That could have been his Heisman moment.
You're right.
I mean, that disappointed me about that game.
I don't think he wins it. Do you? I think Caleb Williams is the winner.
Probably. I mean, you know, you get into – you know, and I coached at USC. When they want to promote something or somebody, I mean, they're tough to beat from a
yeah.
tradition standpoint and knowing all the writers and knowing all the voters. And when they put a campaign on, USC can put a campaign on now.
We talked earlier that maybe one of the unexpected consequences, we always talk about those, the transfer portal
oh.
is already a huge deal.
Over 1,000, someone told me.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
So now if Caleb Williams, after transferring, wins the Heisman – he wouldn't have won that if he stayed at Oklahoma, right? He followed his coach, and he's going to win a Heisman Trophy. What does that say about, hey, next guy up, guess what? Go win the Heisman. Don't bother with staying at a school.
I got one for you. Coming out of Pennsylvania, this guy, they were comparing him to Dan Marino. His name's Jerkovic, okay?
Yes. Domer.
Yeah.
Okay. He went to Notre Dame
goes
first.
To Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Then he leaves Notre Dame and he goes to Boston College.
Right.
He lights it up at Boston College. Frank Cignetti, who was on my staff, was my offense coordinator at Pitt, he leaves Boston College and goes back to Pitt this year, first time, yep. first year back. Guess where Jerkovic is leaving
yeah,
Boston College
that.
And he's going to Pitt.
He's going yeah. back home.
Now, yeah. my question I got is when they're sitting there with their grandkids, and my grandkid said, oh, Pap, that's Pitt on TV. Yeah, that's where I went to school. That's where I played. How about sitting there with a kid like Jerkovic and saying, Grandpap, that's Notre Dame. Is that where you went? No.
Well, just for
look
a year.
At the other TV. Yeah. I went there, too.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Let's just stay here because in 2 hours, Pitt's coming on.
Exactly.
And I went there, too.
Yeah, Junior, I committed there, but I attended there, and I transferred there, and I ended up there.
It's this is the Jeff George dilemma when you're talking about pro football.
There you go.
Or college.
It's crazy. It is. But that
Jeff George committed us.
Yeah.
I was at Miami.
I know.
He shook Bernie Kosar's hand and said, I'm coming.
And the reason he's going to Pitt is because of the connection you cited. But also now, Kenny Pickett, who he ended up transferring to into Pitt at some point.
No, Pickett stayed. Notre Dame was trying to get him again. But guess who was at Pitt last year? Kid named Kevin Slovis, who was from USC and started there. Now, wait a minute. Kid starts as a freshman at USC, then gets beat out or gets hurt. He transfers to Pitt. 1 year, he was a quarterback at Pitt. So now Jerkovic says, I'm coming or whatever. Now, last night, Slovis puts his name in a transfer. So he's going on his third school.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Well, how do you do? I mean, what do you do about that?
Well, this kid, you know what? This. Everyone's saying Deion Sanders is going to Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
How is Deion, you know, doesn't have a lot of head coaching experience, coaching in general. And Colorado's not a very good job. It's an average job. How is he going to turn it around? We're talking about it, fellas. I mean, right now, Deion has over 200 players that are putting Colorado down as one of their transfer schools.
Dave, Colorado can be a good job again. It used to be a good job.
You think they care about football out there? Come on.
They used to have a pretty good program, Dave.
They did. They did. When McCarthy was there and well, Rashawn Salaam.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s. I drafted them. No, they were very good. They were.
Yeah, they need to recapture that a little bit.
Yeah.
They let it go. And Deion is going to take advantage of every resource in the transfer portal. He's already announced the fact that he basically – did you see his – his opening speech to his team?
Yeah.
He's like, you guys aren't going to be here.
Yeah.
Hello, goodbye.
No, and that's how you say that's balancing things out. I mean, it's
don't you need, you need a recruiting coordinator, but now don't you need like a transfer portal?
100%.
Almost like a pro personnel guy, 100%. Right?
100%, Molly. No question about that. Because you got to start recruiting those guys again and calling them and you know, it's, I tell you,
recruit and paying them.
Head coaches make a lot of money in college, you know, a lot more than we ever made when I was in it. But I'll tell you what, it's a 24-hour job, 12 months a year. I mean, it's a nightmare right now. Someone needs to get a handle on this. I agree with Nick Saban on that. Someone needs to get a hold of this transfer portal and this NIL stuff. I mean, it's almost off the rails,
guys. Totally agree with that. I want to know your perspective on this. You mentioned the programs that are taking advantage of this, the Colorados, there are others out there, and the USC, for example.
Yes.
Schools like Northwestern struggled with Fitz. Schools like Stanford struggled with David Shaw. Schools that maybe have more of an academic profile attached to their football programs. Is this partly why they are struggling now? Because their inability to adapt and adjust to the NIL, to the transfer portal, and not navigate those waters as well as other schools are?
Good question, and there's probably some legit factors involved there. I don't know I don't know how Northwestern. I do know when I was watching Deion's press conference, Deion made the statement that they're making adjustments here with the NIL, okay, but also with the admittance. And so I don't know what it was at Colorado, but it's probably going to Florida State's admittance.
Exactly.
Wow.
Sign here.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And now, but you're right. If Northwestern wants to turn it around quick, this is a way to do that, you know, and go get some players. I don't know what their policy is, right, you know, as far as NIL or the transfer portal. I really don't.
I've just got to think that there are more obstacles in the way of student-athletes, players transferring into the Stanfords and the Northwesterns and the Vanderbilts. There's got to be more obstacles than there might exist at places like Colorado.
Sure. Oh, no question about that. And, you know, I was up at Minnesota, and I'll end on this one here, and I was watching what P.J. Fleck's doing and how hard he's working with his team and everything about it. And you know, he had me speak to the team a couple times, and my closing thing was, you know, I'm watching these kids eat. I'm watching how the coaches treat them. I'm just looking at all the facilities that they have in Minnesota. It's not Ohio State. It's not Michigan. And I said to these kids, you know, it's what's your quality of life? You know, the percentage of you guys going to the NFL is slim and none. That's the reality of it.
Yeah.
But getting a degree and having a good college experience, there's something to that. And right now, that is not in the equation with these kids. Everybody thinks the grass is greener, and it is definitely not.
Well said.
What are you looking forward to this weekend with the bye week here? What are there games that you want to watch? What will you do with the bye week, Dave?
You know what? Probably go to 6 grandkids basketball games, 3 hockey games. That will be the biggest thing that I do. But no, I'll watch all the games. I'm going to start focusing a little bit more on the division. You know, Detroit intrigues me, and I really haven't sat down and studied them. I want to, you know, the Detroit's take a look at our division a little bit, and
there's no path back for Green Bay. I mean, you watch
it's hard to envision.
Yeah,
the quarterbacks.
No.
Clearly injured, and they just don't look like the same
defense.
Defense let them down.
Awful.
Defense let them down. You know, and I know we had one big run with Fields, but we still rushed for over 100 yards against them, even without Fields. So, no, it's
and you don't do you? I mean,
Minnesota still they're going to win the division. They're going to get in the playoffs, in my opinion, and they could be They could win by two touchdowns, or they could get slaughtered in the first game of the playoff.
That's the one thing that prevents you from buying in, their unpredictability, the inconsistency of a Kirk Cousins.
They're not great at anything, though, David. They're not great running the ball. Look at their numbers. They're not great on defense. You know, in any real particular area, they're not dominant.
Yeah.
So I don't know how far they're going to go. I was so excited about San Francisco. Now with Jimmy Garoppolo out, I don't know. I don't know where that's going to go. I guess we're going to be back to how about them Cowboys here pretty soon.
All right, 312-644-6767. We're going to get to your calls next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.